At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A wonderful Evo! Welcome to Lucky Las Vegas to Disco Suits with myself, Craig Eames Peterson, now part of the Neeson Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. It is the Big Sky Conference Preview Edition. So, this is going to be our second conference preview. We're going out to the Big Sky today, taking a look at all things in the mountainous part of the country. We're going to be taking a look at the Montana schools, the Idaho schools. Very much a wide-ranging conference, as it extends as far as to the city of Portland and Lance Hartzler. He does a great job taking a look at this conference. He works over at Mid-Major Madness. He is going to be joining me in segment number two. We're going to be taking a look at all these teams. We're going to be diving into who's all coming into the conference, who's all leaving the conference. So it's going to be a lot of fun taking a look at this conference, all the rosters with Lance in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I'm going to give you guys the trends and just a little bit of a lay of the land in the Big Sky. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys my projector or finish for the Big Sky. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. As per usual, when I do a conference preview as well, since I'm not going to be doing the news and notes of college basketball from Sunday, I'm going to do Sundays and Mondays on the podcast tomorrow. So we've got you guys all covered there, but let's dive in on this conference, a conference that saw a lot of teams play at a very much middle tempo. You don't necessarily have a lot of demonstratively fast teams. You don't necessarily have a lot of demonstratively slow teams, although Montana is certainly one of those teams that they do look to slow it down a little bit. But here's the one thing that I've noticed about the conference over the last few years. Not a lot of defensive stalwarts, to say the least. As nobody completely bottomed out from this conference, which I guess that's a little bit of a good thing, but you look at the northern schools, Northern Arizona along with Northern Colorado. These were two of the lesser defensive teams in all of college basketball. Northern Arizona, 328th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Northern Colorado, 332nd, and that's not even the worst team from the conference. That belongs to Idaho. 337th nationally in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Not necessarily too terrific there. And then you've got teams that just perennially, they don't necessarily do the world's greatest job on defense, including Montana and Montana State. Sacramento State, despite playing a slow tempo themselves, they were 279th of the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Idaho State was 276th. Montana was 274th. So you just go on down the list, and defensive efficiency was not the forte of this conference. And that is shown through by the fact that when you take a look at how many games went over slash under the total in the Big Sky, you did see quite a few overs last season, as Northern Colorado, along with Northern Arizona, Idaho State, and Eastern Washington, all cashed more than 60% of their games to the over, and the only team that played more unders than overs was Montana State, and the architect of that defense in Danny Sprinkle is now at Utah State. That's not too terrific. Now, when it came to Sacramento State, Weber State, Montana, a little bit more of a 50-50 sort of look there. Weber State, one game above 500 to the over, 16 overs, 15 unders, and Sacramento State 16 overs and 14 unders, but not a lot of defense being played, and it really manifested itself in conference play as well, because in non-conference, it wasn't necessarily overly bad, but you saw all but three teams at north of 52.5% of their games to the over when it came to conference play, and this was with Southern Utah, by the way, leaving for the WAC last season, as well as Eastern Washington played 14 out of their 19 games against Big Sky competition to the over. And if you do take a look at the non-conference portion of the season as well, quite a few teams were able to hit a bunch of overs. Idaho State and Idaho, 8 overs to 3 unders for both of them. Northern Colorado, Northern Arizona, 7 overs to 4 unders. So, yeah, this was a conference that if you were betting the over on it, you were able to make yourself a whole lot of money. And then when it comes to just taking a look at home court advantage, because this is one of the wider range of conferences that you're going to find in all of college basketball. Extends to Sacramento, Flagstaff, Arizona, Portland, and then you get into the Montanas. You get into Greeley, Colorado. This is very much a very, very spread out conference, and you'd think that that would lead to a big advantage for some of these home teams. Not really. You had Portland State go 1-10 against the spread at home. That was not too terrific, to say the least. Now, you did have a pair of teams be pretty darn solid at home. Eastern Washington, they went 8-3 against the spread at home. And Montana State, they went 7-4 against the spread at home. And Eastern Washington, by the way, also had one of the longest streaks in college basketball last season, as well as they were just ripping off win after win. They went 16-2 in the conference. They were number one within the conference, and that led them to the NIT, and they actually won a game against Washington State in the NIT. But they had an 18-game win streak. Granted, one of them came against Northwest Indian College by a count of 130-54, but still, against C1 competition, 17-game win streak, that's relatively solid. And when it came to the Big Sky, there was a clear two halves in this conference last year. Montana State, they went 15-3 within the conference. They won 25 games overall, made the NCAA tournament, and then Eastern Washington, who I just mentioned, 16-2 within the conference, 23-11 overall. And then past that, you had a pair of teams that won 500 overall for the season. Weber State was 12-6 in conference, 18-15 overall, 17-14 went Montana, and they went 10-7 within the conference. Past that, no other team was above 500 within conference play, and no other team won more than 14 games throughout the entirety of the season, as you had Idaho State, along with Portland State, Idaho, Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, all lose at least 19 games last season. So that was a little bit less than terrific, Portland State being the most up-tempo team in the conference. But clearly the lack of defense was not necessarily helping out with them. And you saw that indicated with regards to how these teams fared against the spread as well. As your top against the spread team within the conference, well, that would be Eastern Washington. They went 20-12-1 against the spread, so they were good. Montana State, I mean, they were right there as well. 19-12-2 against the spread. And then Northern Arizona was a nice little surprise. 20-12-1 against the spread. They very nearly were able to win that automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. They got hot towards the back half of the season, but a lot of teams that they just weren't able to make you money, as Sacramento State, Idaho State, they both covered just below 50% of their games. Idaho went 13-16-1 against the spread. Then Northern Colorado, great things were expected out of them after they were a solid team two seasons ago. Just 13-18 against the spread. Then Portland State, 10-19 against the spread. Big old flopperoonie for them. And if you take a look at how the conference did as a whole out of conference, it wasn't great and it wasn't terrible against the spread. You had three teams cover 7 out of their 11/12 games against the spread out of conference. Montana State, 7-4-1 against the spread. Idaho and Northern Arizona went 7-4 against the spread. Idaho State, Weber State, they both went 4-7 against the spread out of conference. And then you had a lot of 5-6, 6-5. There wasn't really too much of an advantage / disadvantage with that regard. But what I do think was very interesting within the conference is that underdogs were able to do a relatively solid job, as well as the underdog teams. They were able to bark unless if you were, well, Northern Colorado or Portland State. Portland State 8-12 against the spread as an underdog. Northern Colorado 5-11, but Northern Arizona 18-6-1 against the spread in the role of an underdog. Montana State went 5-2-1 against the spread as an underdog. Eastern Washington went 8-5 against the spread as an underdog. Weber State 11-8 against the spread as a dog as well. So I did find that to be very intriguing. And then when it came to the teams that were able to ascend during conference play in terms of an against the spread mark, you did see Montana State and Eastern Washington once again do solid. Montana State 12-8-1 against the spread within the conference. Eastern Washington 12-6-1 against the spread. And I mean, it just pretty much went by the order that it went in terms of the actual straight up numbers. Portland State 4-14 against the spread within the conference. Northern Colorado 8-12. Idaho 6-12-1. So this was very much a conference where things played out relatively to standard when it came to actual straight up record versus against the spread record within the conference. Lone outlier being Northern Arizona, covering a lot of games but not necessarily winning outright, going 13-8-1 against the spread. So that's sort of the lay of the land when it comes to the Big Sky Conference. Not going to be finding too much defense being played. Going to be finding a lot of shooters. You're going to be finding a lot of teams that have a little bit of edge with regards to their home court, except if your name is Portland State. So that's what we've all got in the Big Sky, and we've got to take a look at these rosters, and we've got to do more of a deep dive as to who these teams are. Lance Hartzler, he does great work at Mid-Major Madness. He's going to be joining me to do just that right here on Cuscus Hoops with myself, Craig E. Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast, the Big Sky Preview Day.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Welcome to Las Vegas for Cuscus Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family of Podcasts. It is a Big Sky Preview Edition, and it's great to be joined by this man as Lance Hartzler does a great job over at Mid-Major Madness. He does a great job taking a look at this game that we all know and love, and I know that he's got some big-time ties with the Big Sky. He's a Northern Arizona graduate, and he joined me on this podcast last year, helping to be able to take a look at this fine conference, and he's back with me once again this year, so great to have him aboard and to be able to follow Lance on Twitter. That is at Lance_, and then the first part of his last name, Hartzler. It is HRTZ, so Lance_Hartz. And Lance, it's great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, happy to be here, man. Hope you've been well, dude.
Hope you have been well as well. And for the Big Sky. I do think that things went relatively well for them last season with getting Montana State a 14 seed in the NCAA tournament. But let's start there because there is not too much that is returning for Montana State from last year. Danny Sprinkle, he decided that he was going to be taking the job at Utah State. So now with him moving on and taking a lot of the players with him, it's a little bit of a piecemeal team. They've been able to do a good job of bringing in a lot of guys by the transfer portal, but this was really the stalwart of the Big Sky when it comes to defense, and you've got to wonder how much there's going to be a fall-off with regards to that Montana State defense, which really allowed them to be able to cover the NCAA tournament the last few seasons.
100%. And you never really know the new coach, right? He's coming from the coach they hired. He's coming from a low rank, but he's coming from a successful time. He's never really had a losing season. He's coming from great success at the high level at the division he coached at. He brings in a host of new talent, right? They didn't really keep anyone from Danny Sprinkle's era. Everyone decided to either transfer with him to Utah State or they just left outright like Raekwon Battle did. He transferred up to the high major ranks, reigning Big Sky. Arguably, if he would have stayed, he would have been the Big Sky player of the year. He left one of the most exciting players in the league. That's going to be a trend that we're going to talk about with every single team. Just about everyone seemed to lose their high caliber guy early, whether that to be or even some to graduation, of course. With Montana State, it's just going to be a brand new roster. It's not like when they brought in Danny Sprinkle originally and he could retool with some of the guys that the former head coach Brian Fisher, his predecessor, left over. There's not a lot of leftover now from Danny Sprinkle's era. New head coach, new system. They kept some of the assistant coaches to kind of help that culture. A lot of the beat writers that I still know from Montana, they've said some great things about the new coach and the new system. But, man, it's hard to tell in June what a team's going to look like when it's a new coach and basically an entirely new roster.
Yep, it certainly is going to be difficult there. And I'm so glad that you pointed out that a lot of teams did lose their top scorer from last year because there's really one man that is returning that is able to take over a game. And that would be Weber State's Dylan Jones. Dylan Jones decided that he was going to test the NBA draft waters. He decided to pull out of the NBA draft, and that's massive because, and let's call it what it is, he was the Weber State team last year. 16.5 points, 7.9 rebounds, 3.8 assists per contest as a 6'6", little bit of a combo player. He got great help from Steve Verplanken last year, who was able to bomb it at a really good rate from three-point range, shipped in there 13 points. He was able to shoot from three-point range, somewhere in that pocket, about 42%. From three-point range, and for Weber State, them being able to return top-flight talent is something that really not a lot of other teams in the conference can do, and it felt like Eric Duff really built some positive momentum towards the back half of the season after it was a little bit rough in non-conference play prior to that Utah State win.
Right on the money, man. Like, Eric Duff, and now entering year two of the post-Randy Ray era, obviously great years under Randy Ray, Duff has the chance to really put Weber State back in the Big Sky pantheon. They have the bet and the makings of the team that should run the table, should be the favorite, should win the Big Sky Conference tourney title, regular season title. Because only one reason, because they bring back Dylan Jones. Had he gone, Weber State's in a completely different territory. But he is undoubtedly the best player coming back from in the Big Sky Conference and the best player in the Big Sky Conference. A lot of people, like myself, think he was snubbed for Big Sky MVP last year for Steel Ventures, who eventually won it from Eastern Washington. Of course, he's not there anymore. He transferred to Gonzaga, and we're going to touch on that in a minute. But Dylan Jones is back. That's the leading one of the top rebounders in the country, one of the best playmakers outside of the point guard position in the country with a 3 assists a game. And he's a 6'6". That's probably nice, being nice to him. He's more like 6'4", power forward, center, do-it-all type guy. He's going to lead that team, and he's going to be tough to beat, especially given he's got that extra. He's a little bit older than his class signifies, thanks to the good old COVID eligibility we've seen the last couple of years. So he's kind of punching above his weight, and he's going to be able to actually contribute, and hopefully Weber State can bring back some of those days of the past years under Randy Ray.
And I do think that they are certainly trending in the right direction, as this podcast is trending in the right direction, as Lance Hartzler does great work over at Ben Bader Mandis, is joining me to be able to break down the Big Sky. And then how about if we take a look at another team that just perennially has been able to make the NCAA tournament until the last few years? And that'd be Montana. Now, Montana loses their do-it-all player in Josh Bannon. He was like 6'10", 15 points, 8.5 boards, 3.5 assists, was shooting 40% from three-point range. But they do bring back a lot of the ancillary pieces. Ayn Moody, he is back. He shot 40% from three. He was able to register about 16 points per contest. Deshaun Thomas, he came in from Colorado State a few seasons ago at 6'9". He's able to pop threes at about a 37% clip, 11 points per game. What I think is intriguing about this Montana team is that they play a really slow tempo, but they're not necessarily efficient on defense. They were right around about 270th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. But at the same time, they're bringing in Blake Jones to try to fortify the post after he played sparingly at George Mason. I do think that bringing in Jordan Williams from Santa Clara going to be able to help them out as well. With Montana, I can't put them quite in that same class as Weber State, but at the very least, they bring back a lot of the ancillary pieces to Bandon from last year.
I think Montana is in a similar position they've been in years past, right? They may have losing Josh Bandon hurts. Had they kept him, they'd be in arguable position to be second, third fiddle in the conference. I think it'd be pretty easy given Travis Secure's track record, on in Moody's talent as a guard who can just light up the scoreboard. We saw him doing the Biscay Conference tournament. But now without Bandon, you lose your secondary playmaker. You lose your guy who kind of ran your offense. And he's going pro. He's playing pro ball back home in Australia. Good for him. That's all power to him that he's able to do that. But that kind of leaves Montana looking for answers. It's going to be back to the days where DeCure kind of has to figure some stuff out. He doesn't have as much top-end talent, I would argue, on this team that he did. And you mentioned those defensive numbers. Those are not part of core for a Travis DeCure coach team, right? Those numbers are way, way under what they want them to be. Travis DeCure wants this to be a team that is top 150, top 200 in KenPom at the minimum defensively, hit threes at an efficient rate, and not play too fast and kind of muck up the game. Defensively, they haven't been there. Maybe with the new roster shakeups and new roster construction, they can get back to their defensive mindset. Because admittedly, Josh Bandon wasn't the best defender. He doesn't take a trained eye to realize that. He was solid. He worked. He's not the prototypical star defender Travis DeCure had and has a big. Now they can move forward. Maybe Blake Jones gives them something. Maybe Santa Clara transfer gives them something. And they can let their guards cook between Allen and Moody and other guys that have returning and just see kind of they can tune things up after what's been a lot of lackluster years for Montana ever since they made back-to-back NCAA tournaments.
Yep, it certainly has been a little bit rough for them. And it's been a little bit rough for Portland State. And I feel like they're in a semi-similar circumstance as well because Cameron Parker was Mr. Do-It-All for them. Ironically, he played for Montana early on during his career as well as he was averaging 18 points, 6.3 assists. I mean, he was Mr. Do-It-All for the Vikings. But for the Vikings, they're going to need to improve upon their rebounding. They were 368th in the country in terms of rebound rate last year. And they did bring in a pair of guys. KJ Allen is coming in from Texas Tech. You also bring in Trayvon Minnett from South Carolina, both played sparingly, but they're going to add some size down low. You do bring in back guys like Hunter Woods, along with Jarrell Satterfield, there where he popped some threes. Bobby Harvey, he shot right around 39% for three. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this team looks without Cameron Parker because I think the rebounding is going to be better because, for lack of a better term, it can't really get any worse. But losing Cameron Parker but bringing back much of the rest of the backcourt is going to be an interesting case study for Portland State.
I agree, and I do think Portland State's actually one of the better coached teams in the league. I like Hogberg. I like what he's been able to do since he got on with the Vikings a couple years ago. He's been able to kind of retool every offseason to make a competitive team. They haven't been light years great. They haven't been a contender, so to say, the quote-unquote contender. But they are always a team that can shock you. You don't want to play them in the conference tournament because they play a style that no one else plays, and that style is havoc. They play fast. They play loose. And a big reason for that last year was Cameron Parker. They got him from Montana, who, when he was at Montana the year before that, he was the base guy reserve sixth man of the year. Then he comes over to Portland State, gets a starting role, shines, plays phenomenally for that roster. He fit their culture. He fit their vibe. Losing him sucks, but that's hoping that he can instill some things as an older senior at the time, and he can build that current crop of guys that's going to move into a spot. And this roster, they play a system where if you just got athletes, you got good playmakers, any point guard can shine, any guard can shine, and they got rim-running bigs. I'm excited to see what KJ Allen can do coming down from the high major ranks. I'd love to see a trendy guy like that kind of pop it. They've done it in the past. I want to see what they do. I mean, Kamani Lawrence was a big guy who came over from Arizona State down. It's had success. He's shown it that they can do it before, and I think this team might be able to catch that fire.
Absolutely, as we do have Lance Hartzler, who does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, joining me right here on Cusco Soups to be able to preview the Big Sky Conference. And I think that this is going to be a fascination because we have seen it time and time again with Eastern Washington. It feels like they lose darn near everything, and yet somehow, some way, they're towards the top of the conference. Now they have to lose a man of steel Ventures. So that is tough. Angelo Algieri is out of eligibility as well. But they bring in Jake Hyman, who it didn't work out for him at Wyoming, but someone who was a former top 150 recruit. He was playing at UCLA to begin his career. I know that they've done a good job of being able to scour the non-Division I ranks, bringing in the guy like a Nick McLean, who is Mr. Do-It-All at Daytona State College in Florida. I think that he could be a nice addition for this team. How do you view the Eastern Washington team? Because, I mean, the loss of Steele Ventures along with Angelo Algieri is big, but somehow, some way, Eastern Washington seems to be able to lose like darn near everyone every single year, and they just keep reloading.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, too. Whenever you think Eastern Washington is going to be down, they kind of shock you, right? I think that's a product of the culture that former head coach Shante Leggins, who's now at Portland, of course, That's part of the culture he built, and that David Riley, his associate head coach at the time, now current head coach at Eastern Washington, entering, I believe this is his third year, they have built something that can be sustained. Whether you think they lost all their talent, like Steele Venters and Allegri, who just graduated, or Steele Venters pop in 5 miles down the road to Gonzaga, they are still going to contend. They're still going to be a thorn in every single base guy's team because they play away. I don't want to say dirty, but they play and they get under your skin. They're cocky. They know how to hurt teams. They know how to play in a way that gets you. And they have that culture that allows anyone that fits that vibe to kind of plug and play and just work. I'm excited to see what Kaiman can do coming up from – he was at Wyoming. It didn't work out there, but he's got talent. And if anyone can unlock some talent, it's David Riley. He's going to be able to fit this guy into a system and make it work. I think if he pops, Eastern Washington will be really, really scary.
Yep, I think so as well. And we're talking about a lot of teams that they do lose quite a bit from a season ago. I take a look at this bunch, and they actually retain quite a bit of their talent from a season ago. And that would be Idaho State. I mean, Idaho State wasn't lighting the world on fire. They weren't doing anything amazing last year, but they were just able to hang around in games. As I always like to say with some of these teams, a whole was greater than the sum of its parts. Miguel Tomley coming in from Santa Clara, he was able to do a solid job in the backcourt. You've got Braden Parker back down low. He's able to give you some rebounds. He's able to give you a little bit of versatility as well. They've done a nice job being able to bring in some guys from the junior college level, someone like Akiri Huey, who comes in from Odessa College. I think that he's going to be able to do some solid work for this team as well. Not sure what you think of Idaho State, but I do like the fact that they bring back so many of their talented pieces, and I don't think that they're going to be contending for like a conference title or anything like that, but I think finally the arrow is trending upward for Idaho State.
Yeah, I actually think Ryan Looney has done a really solid job in Pocatello. I was cautiously optimistic when he got that job because I know it's a tough place to win. It's not a trendy program. Pocatello, I've been through it. Sorry, it's not the most pretty place to live. You really got to be a certain type of person to live there. But he's built something that can at least be a middling, solid team in the Big Sky Conference. They contend for a first-round bye. They might get a fifth seed. They might get a fourth seed. They're not going to wow you, but like, they can win games. I watched them take a great Montana team to overtime like 3 times during my time covering them. NAU, same thing. They know how to win games surprisingly in weird, weird, funky fashion. He's built a culture that can just kind of shock you at a point. Like, they almost see like they're almost always overlooked, but they always seem to win those type of games. They're not going to wow you. They're not going to win a title, but they're going to at least do something weird.
Yep, I do think so as well. I think that this is a team to take note of. Now, the other Idaho team, I think it's going to be a little bit rough for them because they weren't playing any defense to start out with. 337th in the country. It turns points allowed on a per-possession basis, and they returned 3.3% of their scoring from last year. Terrence Frank, he was able to average 10.6 rebounds per game when he was out there on the floor. Problem was, you know, he played 6 games last year, began his career at TCU and Vanderbilt. They get him back, but they're having to look to a bunch of transfers, like E.J. Neal. He comes in from College of San Francisco, put up good numbers there, but he's going to be needing to make that leap upward. Tyler Linhart, he's someone I like coming out of high school in the Washington area. He was the third best rated recruit from the state of Washington for the class of 2022 for many people. But I mean, with that said, a little bit unproven at the college level. How do you view this Idaho team? Because I mean, I think that Frank can be able to put up some good numbers, but I just don't know what he has around him.
Yeah, it's Idaho, man. They've been like this the past couple of years, ever since Don Verland, ever since he left and Zach Kloss, now he's gone as the head coach. They've just been kind of in the dumps of the Big Sky Conference. They've been the bottom dwellers. They've been consistently either 10th, 11th, or 9th, depending on the amount of teams in the league. They're always bottom two or bottom one. I hope that they can be better. It'd be fun. I like the Idaho fans. They're cool people. I like the Idaho Riders. They're cool people. And they got a lovely arena, a brand spanking nice new arena that I'm sure if it had some winners in it, it'd be great. Luckily, they got the women's basketball team. The men, they need to kind of do their part. It's more transfers on transfers. Every single year, they have another guy that can come in that maybe pops, maybe kind of scores 15 to 20 a game. Could be the guys I have on tap, but I don't know, man. I don't think this roster has much going for it, but we'll see with a new coach, a new culture, see if anything kind of builds some blocks for the future is what Idaho really needs to shoot for this year.
Yep, I'm right there with you. This is a rebuilding year for them. They lose darn near all their scoring from a team that last year wasn't necessarily that great. Now let's talk about your alma mater in Northern Arizona, because as we know, Northern Arizona, they had Jalen Cohn absolutely ripping it up. He has played his way upward. He is now going to be a part of a Cal team that, by the way, they're doing a very good job in the transfer portal. I give all the respect to the world to what they've been able to do, but for Northern Arizona, looks like they're really going to be building around Carson Tout this year. I mean, he's a versatile player, right around 6'7", 10 points, nearly 8 rebounds, 3 assists per contest. Like his game. it's about what is going to be around him. I like Trent McLaughlin. I remember he was at Central Connecticut a few years ago. Shot about 41% from three towards back half the season last year. Oakland Ford actually really had a good conference tournament as well. But how do you view this team? Because I like the fact that they bring Carson Brasham, but it does feel like depth is going to be a little bit of an issue for Northern Arizona.
Shouts to Mad Dog Mark Mattson for what he's doing at Cal. He obviously poached Chandler Cohn after, of course, Mark Mattson was very successful coach at Utah Valley. Now he took Chandler Cohn from NAU. And, of course, Cohn and Oakland Fort really led NAU to what I was having a blast watching, a Cinderella run through the Big Sky Conference tournament. They just about knocked off Montana State to upset their way to the NCAA tournament. They are going to be in for similar tidings as NAU has faced the last couple of years. They're always going to compete again. They're going to win some games. Shane Burkhart, it's kind of like Ryan Looney. He's built a team that won't finish in the top five, but they dang straight won't finish 10th or 11th. They'll at least be solid. And he's got to build something, though, because he lost Cohn, which was the big acquisition he got a couple years ago that really was supposed to lead this program to great heights. And now Jalen Cohn's gone. He's moved on to the higher ranks of Cal. Oakland Fort has a chance to really shine. He had a big game winner in the Big Sky Conference tourney. He's got some growing to do, but as a freshman, he showed some balls during that tournament, man. He can do something if he can grow into his role to kind of lead this NAU group. And I like McLaughlin as a shooter. I like the way he fits into Burkhart's system, which predicated on outside shooting. And, of course, Carson Tout. He's kind of a junkyard dog in a lot of what he does when you watch him. Some might call him dirty. Some might call him kind of a real risky player in ways. But he makes the right reads. He's hustles. He's a junkyard guy. And he's going to make the right play. And I think that's what NAU just needs to kind of pride itself on, like making the right play and developing all these young guys and hoping that just someone like Oakland Fort, McLaughlin, someone like that pops.
I think that they are certainly going to be needing that. As joining me on the show, we've got Lance Hartzler, does great work over at Mid-Major Madness. We are previewing the Big Sky Conference. And how about if we take a look at the other Northern school, Northern Colorado, because they lose Dalton Kinect, who was able to register 20 points per contest last year. That, no question, is an absolutely massive loss for them. And as a matter of fact, you've got a bunch that was 357th among 363 D1 teams in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis, and they lose each other top three scorers from last year, including Dalen Kuntz as well. They're going to be looking to Riley Abercrombie to be able to pop. Now, I do like the fact that they brought in the likes of Jerron Riley, who was able to do a solid job at Samford, St. Thomas. We thought he was going to have a big year at Loyola Chicago. Turned out to be a little bit of a flopperoony, but that said, new lease on life for him. I do think, though, that for Northern Colorado, losing all that scoring is going to be rough for them, and the big key for them is with this new core, can they pick it up on defense just a little bit to be able to turn over a new leaf?
That's the number one question, right? Because I've been thinking Northern Colorado should have made the NCAA tournament at least one of the past 3 years. Based off the talent they've had on this roster, it's kind of been sad to see on my perspective. I've always thought this team was the better in the conference, but they're very Jekyll and Hyde. They either look like world beaters or they look like they can't beat anyone in the world. That's what they've been the last 3 years. Such like a glass cannon type team that unless this new culture can kind of rectify those defensive issues while picking up all that scoring slack that they're losing, I don't see much different other than just Northern Colorado is going to be a very different team than we've seen the last couple of years.
Yep, and how about if we go into the final bunch here, and that would be Sacramento State. With Sacramento State, I do like the fact that the new coaching regime that came in last year, David Patrick, he was able to instill a little bit of defense. Now, part of it was they were just playing really slow. The defense was a little bit hit or miss towards back half of the season last year, but they certainly brought in a lot of size with Kyle McCray and company, but he did bring in a lot of guys that he knew that he was only going to have for 1 year. And their main scorer from last year, Zach Chappell, he is out of the fold. So that is going to be hurting Sacramento State quite a bit for this upcoming season. They've done a solid job of being able to bring in a few guys via the transfer portal to be able to give them some size. Brandon Benson, he's their main scorer that's coming in via the portal, a double-figure guy from Chicago State a few seasons ago, but still able to put up buckets at Tulsa last season. Dunk Capel, I think, is going to be able to give this team a few rebounds. But for Sacramento State, I just feel like when I take a look at this team, they don't wow me. They don't necessarily have me thinking that they're going to be a bottom feeder either. They just feel like a very mid team in this conference.
Yeah, they just feel like a seventh place team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what this team just roster screams to me. They're going to play some defense because they play so slow that they're going to keep teams to the 50s if they can, and that's how they're going to win games. David Patrick, he came into a place that needed a regime change. Previous coach Brian Katz did a great job over his tenure. Nothing wows you. But it was needed. They just need a change. And Patrick is in a second year now, really kind of laying on those blocks that he tried to build last year. obviously losing Chapel was quite the loss, but we'll see what they can do. I think Sac State's kind of a mystery team where you don't expect much, but if something happens, you're surprised.
I do think that Sacramento State going to be able to give you good effort night in and night out. Just with their style, they're going to be around in a lot of games, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to pop this year. But Lance, you're a man that's popping up all over the place because you do an absolutely amazing job taking a look at this great game of college basketball over there at Mid-Major Madness. I know you're someone that absolutely loves this conference. You do a great job of covering it. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, really follow Mid-Major Madness at mid_Madness on Twitter. That's where we post all our stuff. I'm an editor over there. Trying to do more Big Sky Conference coverage upcoming this year now that I'm away from newspaper work, so that'd be fun.
Absolutely. Lance does a great job covering this conference, does a great job really covering the entirety of the game of college basketball. It was great to be able to get him on this conference preview edition. So big thanks to Lance for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN family podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you my projector of finish for the Big Sky Conference.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Las Vegas, for Jessica Seeps with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. Was great to be able to get Lance Hartzler aboard. He does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, taking a look at this game of basketball that we all know and love. This is going to be a very interesting conference with a lot of moving parts. I know that he absolutely loves taking a look at all these teams and did a great job of being able to give us a lay of the land in the Big Sky in the last segment. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you my projector or finish for the Big Sky. Once again, because I'm doing a conference preview today, that means that tomorrow on the podcast, I will be dusting up all the news and notes that we saw from both Sunday and Monday. So we've got you guys covered there, and we've got you guys covered with Dead Last. in this conference being Idaho. The Vandals, I think, are going to be vandalizing Bakerles once again. They returned 3.3% of their scoring from last year. Taren Frank is really the only guy that gave the team production last season. He was able to put in their 10.6 boards per contest, but he only played in 6 games last season. He's got talent as he was beginning his career at TCU and Vanderbilt, but now they're going to be looking to a bunch of non-D1 guys that are coming in, along with Tyler Leonard, who he was rated by 247 Sports as the number 3 Raider recruit for the class of 2022 at 6'7", a little bit more of a back-to-the-basket guy. Now, I do like the fact that they bring in Quinn Deaver as well. He comes in from Cal State San Marcos, D2 guy that was able to put in their 14.5 points, steal per contest, shot a little bit over 40% from 3. EJ Neal, he was relatively solid when he was playing for 91 City of College of San Francisco, but this team just doesn't play any defense regardless of who comes in. You typically have one or two just big-time bucket getters. We saw that for this team last season. You had like Nigel Burris do a really solid job of being able to pop threes, things like that, but man, this was a team that was very much less than savory, and now that you lose all that production from the season ago because you had so many guys like Deontay Moffitt, Isaac Jones, that they were able to combine for in the neighborhood of 37.5 points per game, you wipe that completely off the table. And I do think that it's going to be a really rough state of affairs for this Idaho team. So the Idaho Vandals, I think, are going to be vandalizing Bakerles. I've got them dead last in terms of my projector or finish. At number 9 in my projector or finish, now is when it really gets to decision time, in my opinion. I'm going to be going with Northern Colorado, just because with Northern Colorado, they lose each of their top 5 scorers from last season. That means that they're going to be relying upon Riley Abercrombie to be able to give them production. And Abercrombie, I remember he was playing at Rice and I believe Boise State. He is someone that's able to put the biscuit in the basket at 6'9", was able to shoot in the mid-30s from 3-point range. And Northern Colorado, they do bring in a few guys in the backcourt, like a Jerron Riley. He was able to have some nice numbers at Samford. He's a career 39% three-point shooter. Once again, what is he going to give you on defense? Northern Colorado, 328th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis last year. 357th out of 363 D1 teams in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. St. Thomas, he was supposed to really take strides forward at Loyola Chicago last year as a low post presence. He was unable to do so. Now, I like Makai Cameron. He actually comes in from D2 Cowley, and he was able to put in their 18 points per contest, shot 39% from 3. Once again, where's the defense? You need 7-footer Theo Hughes to be able to put it up. He was able to give the team 4 rebounds per contest, made 23 starts, and he was doing this for a team that was 353rd in the country in terms of percentage of shots that they faced that they blocked. They didn't get any block shots whatsoever. They need Hughes to be able to do a little bit more down low. I don't think he's going to be able to do so. You bring in Marcel McCreary from Air Force, was able to have a 26-point game against Colorado State. I feel like that might have been a little bit of a flash in the pan, though. So for Northern Colorado, I've got them in my projector or finish at number 9. At number 8, sorry, Lance, I am going to have to go with Northern Arizona just because we need to know who's going to be performing around Carson Tout. Tout was terrific. He's 6'7", 10 points, 7.8 rebounds, 3 assists. Doesn't necessarily pop threes, but he's a little bit of a point forward. I like his game. Trenton McLaughlin was able to take off last season as well. 6.5 points per contest on 41% three-point shooting in the last 18 games of the season. That's something that you're able to build around. Problem is, you lose Jalen Cohn, who was able to do darn near everything for the team last 2 seasons, was putting in there north of 16 points per contest, was very good at being able to pop threes. He was keeping Northern Arizona around in so many games. Now, I will say, Oakland Fort, in that conference tournament run that the team had, he was averaging 11 points per contest, shot over 60% from 3. I don't think Lightning is going to be striking twice with that regard, but you lose Nick Mains, you lose Xavier Fuller, a pair of guys that combined for right around 22 points per contest as well, and that does leave this team looking for some answers. They didn't necessarily add a ton in the transfer portal other than a Pepperdine center and Carson Basham, who was able to give the team right around 7.5 points, a little bit over block per contest. So I do think that they're going to be able to help out a team that was last year 350th in the country in terms of opponent's two-point shooting percentage. But still, I do think that it's going to be a little bit rough for Northern Arizona. Got them number 8 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 7, I am going to be going with Sacramento State. I believe that both myself and our good friend in Lance were both like, doesn't this feel like a team that's going to finish 7th in the conference? And absolutely it does, because they do lose Zach Chappell, who was the top scorer for the team last season, but I could easily see them being able to bring in Brandon Benson and him not necessarily missing too much of a step. He was at Chicago State 2 seasons ago. Last year he was at Tulsa. Well, he was at Tulsa. I mean, in the American, he was able to put up 9.7 points per contest. Now, it was bad for a bad Tulsa team, but he shot 41% from three-point range. Last 2 seasons, has been able to give up right in the neighborhood about 2.7, 2.8 assists per contest. So you've got a little bit of something to build around there. Now, Kyle McCray, I'm pretty sure, is going to be playing pro basketball as he's a 7-footer that has been running out of eligibility over the last few seasons. But you do bring in Duncan Boom Boom Powell. He was last season playing at North Carolina A&T, 8 points, 5.5 rebounds per game, relatively solid. And with David Patrick, he just plays that style to where you're never really going to be blowing a team out, and you're never going to be out of a game as well. Sacramento State was one of the slowest teams in all of college basketball last year in terms of total possessions per game. That was by design. I think that that's going to be happening once again. But also of concern for Sacramento State is that even though they were playing super-duper slow, it's not like this defense was necessarily magnificent. In terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, the team was in the bottom 125 in all of college basketball, 279th in specific, to be exact. So I do think that that's going to be a little bit of an issue. I do think that this team is going to be able to grind out some games, be able to get some wins, but I do feel like there's a little bit of a glass ceiling for them. So as a result, Sacramento State, I do have at number 7 in terms of my projector of finish. At number 6, I'm going to be going with Idaho State. It finally feels like Idaho State is trending upward. I do feel like they need to identify who that closer is going to be for this team, because they do bring back their top 3 guys from last year: Brock McKenzie, Braden Parker, Miguel Tomley. All these guys between 11.5 and 13.5 points per contest. All these guys between 1.4 and 1.9 assists per contest. You did not have a single player on the roster last year that gave you north of 2 assists per contest. Austin Smiley was that guy. He is now out of eligibility, and this is not a team that is necessarily a hotbed for necessarily bringing in transfers or anything like that, but they've done a good job of being able to scour the transfer portal, being able to find guys at the junior college level, as I do think that they are going to be able to have some of these guys that are going to be able to pop at the same time. What you really need for this Idaho State team is just someone that can flat out give you what you need at a specific time, whether that be a little bit of improved rebounding, whether that be some production on the offensive end. When you call for it, you need that guy that is able to close out, and I do think that that's what's eluding Idaho State. Idaho State as well was not necessarily the world's greatest team on the glass, because you really didn't have anyone that gave you north of about 5.5 or so rebounds per contest. As a result, Idaho State 282nd in the country in terms of overall rebound rate, one of the worst overall rebound rates in all of college basketball when they hit the road as well. So that was a big giant issue. They get a big boost from their home court advantage because they actually play at quite a bit of elevation out there in the state of Idaho. So I do think that Idaho State starting to trend upward a little bit. I just think that they're missing that little bit of pizzazz to be able to put them over the top. I do have Idaho State at number 6 in terms of my projector or finish. At number 5, I'm going to be going with Montana State. With Montana State, it is a whole new regime for this team, and it is going to be very interesting to see how all these parts are going to be able to form, because with Montana State, this bunch, they do bring in a proven winner. As coming up from the D2 level, you've got the coach from Point Loma College, and Matt Leahy. You may remember, he took his Point Loma team in an exhibition game against Pepperdine and blew them out by 20 points. So, I mean, this guy knows how to win year in and year out. This team was very good at the non-D1 level, as he is going to be bringing in Brian Garaki along with him. He had 12.9 points, 4.3 boards, shot 38.5% from three-point range. And by the way, that Point Loma team was 20-0 in conference last season. They do return a guy in Tyler Patterson as well that's able to give you 5.5 points, shoots 36% from three. And I do think that this team did a good job in the transfer portal. Chike Ndoka is going to be coming in from Portland, where he was able to average 6 points, 4.5 boards, shot 36.5% from three-point range. Jaden Guerin didn't necessarily see a lot of minutes at Rice, but is a career 42% three-point shooter. And Nick Gonzalez, if he's able to get back to what he was a few seasons ago, last 2 seasons prior to the 2022-23 season, so 2020-21-21-22 season, averaging combined 5.2 points per contest, shot 87% from the free throw line, shot 36% from three-point range. That should be able to help them out. They also have Robert Ford returning, which you may recall a few seasons ago at Idaho State, he averaged 11 points, 6.5 boards, 2 assists per contest, a steal, shot 37.5% from three-point range. If he's able to get back to that form, because he's been robbed by injuries, this is a Montana State team that has the potential. So I've got Montana State at number 5 in terms of my projector or finish. At number 4, I'm going to be going with Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington has been looking to a lot of non-D1 guys to be able to hold out on the fort because they're going to be losing Steel Venters. And the Man of Steel was one of the top mid-major scorers that I really found in all of college basketball, but they bring in Jake Kiman. Jake Kiman was a big giant Buster-rooney when he was at Wyoming last year, but this is still a former top 200 recruit that was at UCLA to begin his career. I do think that you've got some potential here. A guy that at 6'6" is able to pop threes for his career. Overall, has been about a 34% three-point shooter, but while he was at UCLA, shot about 36.5% from three-point range. I do think that he is going to be able to do a good job, blend up a little bit to this roster with Eastern Washington. It just feels like time and time again, this team loses a lot of pieces as well, but they're able to somehow, some way, be able to pick them all up. This Eastern Washington team has been about as bulletproof as I have seen for darn near any team in all of college basketball, and they made some shrewd moves to be able to bring in guys that they just have really good versatility. The team is never really going to be built around like that one specific big man or anything like that, but I really love the fact that they went down to the non-D1 level and brought it in someone like a Nick McLean. McLean, he was over at Daytona College. He was averaging right around 10.5 points, 3.5 assists, 5 rebounds per contest for one of the better junior college programs in all of college basketball. They also did a nice job bringing in Andre Membila. He was playing over for Salt Lake Community College. He was able to pile it up with 12 points, 2.5 assists per contest, able to shoot 39% from three-point range. So you've got some good versatility for this Eastern Washington team. They do bring back quite a few of the ancillary pieces as well, because while we focused on Steel Ventures so much last season, they had pretty much 5 different guys. They were able to give you double figures. They returned quite a few of those from last year. So I do think that for Eastern Washington, they are still going to be having a relatively solid team, even without Steel Ventures. I do think that this is a team that is going to be able to challenge within the conference. So I do have them in terms of my projector or finish at number 4. And number 3, my projector or finish, we're going to be going with Portland State. With Portland State, it was a less than savory year for them last year, but I do think that they are building upward momentum because even though they do lose Cameron Parker, who I knew is terrific, 18 points, 6.3 assists, steal per contest, shot 43% from three, he was not the best defensive player in the world, as for Portland State, 296th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. And with Portland State, they have revamped things to help out their rebounding. They were 360th in the country in terms of rebound rate. Recognize that KJ Allen from Texas Tech and Trayvon Minnett did not play big minutes over at their respective spots, with Minnett comes in from South Carolina, but that's going to be able to help them out. You've got Jarrell Satterfield, Hunter Woods coming back in the fold as well. Woods was able to give you about 10 points, 5 boards. Steal and Apricot shot 36% for 3. Satterfield, 13 points, shot in the mid-30s from 3-point range. Bobby Harvey is able to shoot 39% from 3-point range. Isaiah Kirby, Isaiah Johnson, both of these guys combined 13 points per contest. Keyshawn Saunders, if he's able to get back to what he was at Toledo, which was about a 6-point per game score, shot 37.5% from 3. You've got a nice core with this team. Portland State, they're looking to play up tempo. They've got a lot of depth, and I do think that with them being able to hit the glass a little bit better, that is going to be able to help them out and help them ascend in a conference that feels very much down this year. So I do have Portland State number 3 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 2, even though Montana loses their top scorer from last year in Josh Bannon, I do have them here because Anand Moody, he was able to register 17 points per contest, shot 40.5% for 3, and Deshaun Thomas, 4.5 boards, 11 points per game, shot 37% for 3. I do think that what Lance was laying out was so true about this team, and that they certainly are going to be missing Josh Bannon, but he was not necessarily the world's greatest defender, and being able to have so many guys that are going to be putting in a little bit more of a concerted effort. Like, you still have Brandon Whitney in the fold. He averaged 11 points, 2.5 assists per contest. Josh Vasquez, he's going to be looking back to getting back to the 2020-21 numbers that he had when he averaged 8 points, shot 43.5% for 3. That's big. Jordan Williams coming in from Santa Clara, where 2 seasons ago he was able to shoot 44% for 3. That's big. You add in there Blake Jones to be able to give you a little bit of rebounding. I do think that this team is going to be able to take a much better approach on the defensive side of things. I do think that they're going to be able to ascend as a result. So I do have Montana number 2 in terms of my projector or finish, but at number 1 in terms of my projector or finish, we are going to be going with Weber State. And the NBA draft decisions, we talk about the winners and losers of them. One of the big winners was Weber State, because with Weber State, they got back Mr. Do-It-All in Dylan Jones, and boy, oh boy, did they need to bring him back, because with Dylan Jones, this man is Mr. Do-It-All for the team. He was able to register about 16 points. He gave the team about 11 rebounds, 3.8 assists per contest. not the world's greatest three-point shooter, as he only shot right in the neighborhood of about 31% from three-point range, but that's why you've got Steve Verplanken as well. Verplanken was able to shoot about 41% from three-point range, and it just felt like the Duffman was starting to deliver towards the back half of the season as well, because for Weber State, things were absolutely terrible for them to begin the season. They get a big win over Utah State. I still remember betting against them in that game because I was thinking, oh, Utah State laying double figures. I know that it's a big number, but Weber State has been terrible. They were able to cover that game, and then they go 12-6 within the conference. Weber State has not necessarily made any big-time flashy moves here in the transfer portal, but I think that they've done just enough to be able to provide enough help for Dylan Jones to be able to lead this team on a nice run, as they do bring in Arnaud Rivas. He was a 6'10 gentleman that was pretty much glued to the bench while he was at Maryland last season, and this is a bunch that they are very much willing to go the non-D1 route. Blaze Theriot, he was playing for Colorado Mesa last season. He was a big-time producer for them while he was at Colorado Mesa. 19 points per contest, shot a just absolutely ridiculous 45% three-point shooting. I feel like Dylan Jones is a little bit likened to LeBron James. You give him shooting, he's going to be relatively effective. Along with Theriot, he was able to give you about 1.6, 1.7 steals per contest. I think that's exactly what the doctor ordered for this Weber State team. I've got them number one in terms of my projector or finish. And that will wrap things up for the Big Sky Preview Edition right here on Cusco Seeps, now a part of the VSIN family of podcasts. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, @GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire him whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks to Lance Hartzler. He does great work over at Mid-Major Madness. He joined me in the last segment to take a look at all these rosters, all these moves that we've seen in the Big Sky. And I will be coming at you guys every single day on this podcast. There is a specialized conference preview coming for all 32 conferences. We're now through two with the Atlantic Sun in today's Big Sky Conference, so be on the lookout for those and be on the lookout for a fresh podcast tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.